We're dealing with the providence of God. God dealing with something that is of the utmost importance for us. In chapter number 2, verse number 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." Now listen carefully. That ought to be a part of all of our walk with God. We're not going to corrupt the things of God. Amen. Not going to corrupt especially the Word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we. Amen. In Christ. God help it to be that way tonight. Open our minds and open our hearts.
Amen.
And speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen
and amen. In our last meeting together, I gave you some photo shots of your Bible itself. And I said to you that the Bible, the King James Bible, is sealed with seven seals. If you walk into a store to buy a King James Bible, just look at the back of it. There are seven seals there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No one knows why that's there. But the book of the Revelation speaks of a seven-sealed book. It just happened. They just, for some reason or the other, some years ago, began to put those seals on the King James Bible. If it is a rendition other than the King James, it will not be there.
Amen.
Those sealed, well, they're ashamed.
Amen.
They're ashamed. They won't put the seals on it because they're ashamed of it. This book, by the providence of God, this book has been handed down to us through all these years. The first books in our Bible were written by Moses. That's a few years ago. And then through the Old Testament time, those of the prophets and kings wrote the whole of the Old Testament. And then we come to the New Testament. And the New Testament is written by apostles, disciples, men who knew the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Personally.
Yes.
They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They heard what He said. And the Holy Ghost gave them remembrance, brought back to mind. Jesus said He would do that. Bring back to mind the things that He had spoken. And so they put down on paper the words that we have before us tonight. Now, when we think about the providence of God in sparing this book down through the years, now remember, it's written over thousands of years by multiplied numbers of men, and there is no contradiction in the book. Every book compared to the other, there is no schism whatsoever. But the Word of God, as the black preacher said, from generations to resolutions, the Word of God is true.
Amen.
It's God's Word. It's not my Word. It's not Brother Gary's Word. It's not preachers hither, thither, and yon, but it is God's Word.
Yeah.
And God's Word alone. Let me give you something about the book of Isaiah for a moment. Just kind of open your Bible to the book of Isaiah with me for a moment. Let me show you a few things. Isaiah is known as the Little Bible, for it contains 66 chapters. How many books do your Bible?
66.
66. Now back in Isaiah chapter number 1, it's up there, look at this. "Ho, are here, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. At the beginning of Isaiah's writings, there is a reference to the creation. In the book of Genesis, what do we find? The creation. When we come to the 40th chapter and the 41st chapter, there's another thought in mind. Bring it up to the next one, if you will. Now look at this. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Next verse. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished. Give me verse 3. You see that? What's that say? Who was that? Where's that appear? In the New Testament. The New Testament begins with this. And the 40th chapter of Isaiah starts a New Testament realm. Even though there are still passages that deal with the Old Testament economy, it comes right on through. Amen. Now in chapter number 66 of the book of Isaiah, we find a reference to the new heaven and the new earth. God's going to fix it. God's going to bring it back together. Now, why is that there? The book of the Revelation. The little Bible in Isaiah chapter number 66. 66 chapters, as there are 66 books in your Bible. And the division at the same place as our Bible is divided from the old to the new. And the beginning of Isaiah, the creation is before us. And the new creation is before us in the final chapter of the book of Isaiah. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, who would have thought that could ever happen? Many of these words have been removed from the new renditions. And so it takes away from the truth that I just gave you. But to think that God would put a book together. Now, listen, we're talking about the providence of God. To think that God would put a book together like this and keep it for us.
Amen.
But he promised to do so.
Amen.
He promised to preserve his word.
Yes.
And though times are as they are today, and men and women are denying the good word of God, and they've done their best through the years to destroy this book, here we are tonight with a Bible that we can trust, not be ashamed of, carry it with us. If we don't carry it in our hands, we carry it in our hearts. God has given us a book. By and through His providence, God has given us a book. Now I want you to turn back, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 13. In Matthew chapter 13, there's a reference made to wheat and tares. And he says in the verse before you, while men slept, his enemy. Who's the enemy? And what did he do? Came and sowed tares among the wheat. That's exactly what Bible deniers are doing tonight. Let me tell you something. In one night, while we sleep, this Bible can be printed through artificial intelligence.
Amen.
To say whatever somebody wants it to say.
Amen.
One of the greatest enemies we have today is this invention of artificial intelligence. Some of you pay no attention to what's going on in the world. But I'm telling you, this thing is the most dangerous thing that's ever happened to humankind.
Amen.
As far as our knowledge, doesn't have any wisdom, but it does have knowledge.
Amen.
And the thing about it is, It's learning to reproduce itself. What a grave danger that poses. I'm searching prophecy. It's in there. And it has much to do with the end time. Daniel said that knowledge shall increase. And when you take the knowledge that has been since the beginning, and you can quadruple that, and then it'll multiply it even more so.
Amen.
And more so, then nothing is safe.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 4, here's where the rubber meets the road. This is your Bible. Turn there and look at it. You need to see it. Not just on the screen. You need to see it in your book. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Underscore that in your Bible. Another Jesus. Whom we've not preached. Or if you receive another spirit. Which you've not received. Another gospel. Which you've not accepted. You might well bear with him. Now that looks like it means you're to put up with it. That's not what it's saying. The literal interpretation would be run as fast as you can.
Amen.
Get away from it. Get away from it. It's amazing to me that we live in the era we live in, and so many people are duped by everything that comes down the pike. This verse, if you have your pen in hand, I want you to do something for me. Write down this word, if you will. The first time he speaks of another Jesus. The word is Elos. It's A-L-L-O-S, Elos. And it means slightly different. If somebody comes and preaches to you a slightly different Jesus. Now that's being preached across this country tonight. That's being taught in schools of higher learning. It's being taught in our seminaries and our religious schools across this country. A Jesus that is slightly different than the Son of God that went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. The heresy that Jesus is just a human being has been around for centuries. The heresy that he was not the Son of God, but the son of a German soldier. Been around for centuries. It's the Jesus that can't do the work that he was sent to do, and his blood is insufficient to save you from your sins, is a heresy that has produced another Jesus.
Amen.
In the churches across this country. If the Christ that God sent to pay the price is not sufficient, then all of us go to hell. Every last one of us. But the Christ that God sent, the Jesus that came virgin born into this world,
yes,
to pay the price for our sin,
yes,
that Jesus,
yes,
is sufficient. Amen. Able, yes, and willing to redeem his people. But the church in America tonight has another Jesus. Now let's read on. Or if you receive another, underscore that word, another spirit that you have not received, or another gospel, underscore the word another. Both of these words are the word heteros. H-E-T-E-R-O-S, heteros. And it means entirely different. You see, the heresy begins with Christ and makes it just a little bit different. But then when it comes to the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is entirely different.
Yes.
Now listen to me. A gospel that declares that Christ is insufficient both to save you and keep you is another gospel. It's not just a little bit different. It is entirely different.
Yes.
And it's different because it does not measure up to the Word of God. Is the blood of Jesus Christ sufficient to save us?
Amen.
Why would we trust Him to save us and not think He's able to keep us? You see, it's heresy.
Sure it is.
To say that Christ can save and cannot keep. For you see, if He can't keep, then how can He save? And so it's another gospel. And another spirit, entirely different spirit. A spirit that leads you to do things that are outside the will of God. This is a demonic spirit. It's an entirely different spirit. It is a demonic spirit Paul is speaking of. Not just another, but an entirely different one. Comes from another place. And the spirit of Antichrist is prevalent in the world.
Amen.
And in the church. Antichrist. Against Christ. Oh, they carry out the religious shenanigans. And that's all you can call it. They go through their religious rituals. But they're denying the truth of the Word of God. Religious rituals will get you nowhere but the soot charred walls of hell. Jesus despised religion. And He shoved it up on every occasion that He could. Prove to the people around Him how useless religion is. Religion's what put Him on the cross. It wasn't the Romans, it was religion. It was the religion He spoke against from the time He began to preach. You see, when Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
No man cometh to the Father but by Me.
Amen.
When Jesus said that, religion said, this can't be so. Because what we've done and what we've taught all of these years has to be right. But was it right? I ask you, was it right?
No.
Absolutely not. Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
No other hope. No other hope. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me.
Amen.
How often do we meet up with the false spirit? How often have you heard a false gospel? You can hear a false gospel in a Baptist church.
Amen.
Let me go a step farther. You can hear a false gospel in an independent Baptist church. For a false gospel will put the responsibility on you rather than on Jesus Christ. A false gospel will tell you that you must do thus and so in order for God to save you.
Amen.
A false gospel will tell you that anybody, and everybody, will be saved. Now you stop and park your little wagon for a minute and come up here real close and let me tell you something. If you don't see that that's a lie, just because everyone goes to heaven at a funeral doesn't mean God put him there. You go to heaven, let me show you this, and I'll make it as brief as I can. You go to heaven because God put your name in the book before the foundation of the world. Hard for Baptists sometime to see. But you see, nothing sneaks up on God. God's plan began long before you arrived on the scene. Long before your granny ever sinned, God's plan had already begun. And your name was in the book. It didn't get etched in the book when you say God saved you. It was in the book. That's the reason God saved you.
Amen.
Now, don't that make sense?
Yes.
So your name was already there, and God sent the Holy Ghost to find you.
Amen.
And He found you and birthed you into the household of faith. That's why you're there.
Amen.
Not because you came and you did and you done and you prayed. But because the Holy Ghost arrested you and brought you into the household of faith.
Anything short of that is a false gospel.
Anything that puts the responsibility on me and on you is a false gospel. Entirely another gospel. The prime mover of this, I'm going to call it New Age gospel, began around the turn of the century. Not this century, the last century. When preachers begin to beg people to come down the aisle. Look up here at me. Listen, tell you something. Are you here? Are you listening? Did you park your wagon? Stay with me a minute. When God speaks to you, you're going to come.
Amen.
My begging you and any other preachers begging you is not going to get you out of that seat unless the Holy Ghost brings you down there as far as your need of salvation is concerned. Now, you can come and do all kinds of fixing up and painting up and covering over and do all that stuff that people do at an altar. But until God speaks life into you, you're still dead in trespasses and sins. Hard for man to get inside his cranial capacity because you think, for the most part, that you are the prime mover in salvation. Let me prove it to you. Just stay with me for a minute. Keep your wagon parked. Watch this now. I'm going to show you how, through stealth, that Satan turns your mind in that direction. I want you to listen to these two statements. I got saved. Three words in that sentence. Now, what does that say? That says, I am in charge. Right?
Amen.
Huh? Now, how easy is it to say that? And how many times have we all said it?
Amen.
But watch how the whole thing changes now. God saved me.
Amen.
Woo! What a difference. I can't do it.
No. Amen.
God can. So when we change that little sentence and put God as the subject rather than you, it makes all the difference.
Amen.
In time and eternity.
Amen.
Just think about it for a moment. You see, that slaps you in the face. Your pride has to go hide somewhere. You can't hold up anything before God and say, look what I've done. That crowd that stands before the Lord Jesus in chapter number 7 of the book of Matthew and says, look what we've done. In thy name we've done many marvelous works, wonderful works. In thy name we've cast out devils. Are you still listening?
Amen.
Now what did Jesus say? I'm in verse 21 if you're looking for that. Matthew chapter 7. Now what did Jesus say to that crowd? Depart from me. I never knew you. But the religious, they declare their religiosity. They declare, look what we've done. And we've done this through a spirit. Which spirit is it?
Right.
It's another spirit. It's another gospel. But it's religious. But where'd it get them? Another gospel. Another Christ. Another spirit. A Christ that is just minutely different. You know, just enough, because you see, you'd rebel if the devil came with something far off. But if it's just slightly different, then you'll accept it after a while. And once that happens, guess what happens? Then the bucket is poured on you of a false spirit and a false gospel. Entirely different. What I just said to you is the gospel that Baptist churches preached down through the ages. But this false gospel sneaked in the early 1900s. Preachers whose names, if I called them, you'd know, promoted this false gospel. Preachers whom preachers quote in service after service today started this false gospel. If you can save yourself, there was no reason for Jesus to come.
Amen.
Listen, let me make it plain, and I'll hurry. I promise I will. In the garden, God gave up on the flesh. Do you understand what I just said?
Amen.
That means that you can do nothing to please God. Your flesh is an enemy to God. Now, if you don't believe that, just look at your first reaction in most cases. It's always fleshly.
Amen.
Always fleshly. You see, you're still in the flesh. God gave up on the flesh in the garden. If the flesh could do it, Eve would have never partaken of the fruit. Adam would never have conceded to eat the fruit, but the flesh can't do it.
Amen.
The flesh is an enmity, at enmity with God, which means it's an enemy to God. So the flesh can't do it. And the minute you let the flesh get in the picture, you're dealing with a false gospel.
Amen.
A false spirit.
Amen.
And another Jesus. History moves on. And God sends His Son, because the best efforts of man had failed down through 4,000 years. The best efforts of man could not save themselves. Through Moses, God gave a law. The people said, Moses, go up there and see what God wants us to do, and we'll do it. Same outfit that said to Jeremiah, go see what God says, and we'll do what God says. Did they do it?
No.
Hey, before Moses got off the mountain, that's down in the valley naked doing the hoochie-coochie.
Yeah.
Moses was angry enough to where he threw down what God had written for them to observe and broke it. But they had already broke it. So in the law, how many people were saved under the law? Zero.
Right.
Not one single soul was saved under the law. I'm going to say that one more time. Not one single soul was ever saved under the law. Because no one could keep the law. The flesh was imperfect.
Right.
So God sent Jesus in the flesh to identify with us. He had flesh just like I have, just like you have.
Amen.
He breathed air just like you do, just like I do. He ate, He drank the water just like we do. He walked the soil of the earth just like we do. But He was God, the God-man. God sent man. God's only begotten Son sent into this world because man couldn't do it on his own.
Right,
man. So God sent His Son. And His Son, Isaiah 53 gives us the whole picture. Psalm 22 gives us the picture. And in verse number 12 of Isaiah 53, God sees the suffering of His darling Son and is satisfied. Adam didn't satisfy God. Moses didn't satisfy God. None of the greatest men in the Old Testament ever satisfied God. Only God's darling Son could satisfy.
Amen.
And pacify the wrath of God. And if you believe tonight in this Jesus that I'm telling you about, then your sins are forgiven. And wrath was on Him.
Amen.
Rather than upon you.
Amen.
And you have eternal life.
Amen.
Now how about that?
Amen.
There's not a greater story that's ever been told than the account of Jesus Christ coming into this world. God in the flesh, God becoming flesh in order to save his people
Amen.
From their sins. We're not talking about another Jesus. We're talking about the Jesus.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. The virgin birth Son
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He who will soon come again and receive his people
Amen.
Unto himself.
Amen.
He who prayed to the Father in John chapter 17. And Father, I will that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am to behold my glory.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that good?
Amen.
He prayed that prayer for you and for me. And I have news for you. That prayer will be answered. That prayer has been answered down through the years.
Sure.
Our believing forefathers are there beholding his glory right now.
Amen.
And soon it's coming for
Amen.
Us.
Yes, sir.
Either individually or corporately, soon he's coming
Amen.
For us. Not another Jesus. The real Jesus. The real Jesus. The one that God has told us about in this preserved word.